Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Laurie Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing...
I'm sorry, I'm giggling. It's Bernie here from Greenwich Village today, calling in.
Bernie calling in and fading out, but I think we can hear you. Bernie calling in from Greenwich Village.
Yes.
Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat, and then I'm going to tell you about the guest we have. At Coach Chat, we developed this show so we can help you change your perspective and change your life. But this show is for coaches that are interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. Oh, boy, I am definitely hearing an echo here. Is anybody else hearing that? All right, let's keep going. I'll just ignore it if you all are. Coach Chat hooks you up with some of the world's leading coaches. They share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life. So today our guest is Tracy McDonald. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's like, let me tell you a little bit about Tracy. She's a certified professional coach, an energy leadership index master practitioner, co-author of a fantastic book that I love called The Gift of Shift, and is a certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. She's also a member of professional excellent in coaching, and kindergarten coaching. So we are going to delve into a topic that Tracy is pretty familiar with. It's just like, what you going to do with all these crazy things going on today? So Tracy, welcome. Welcome to Coach Chat Radio.
Thank you so much, Lori. Appreciate
Bernie, you want to take it away with the first question?
Sure. Let's see if the echo calms down a little bit.
Oh, so you're hearing it too. I'm not crazy. Okay.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
all
it's
right.
A little off, but that's technology, and as Tracy says, you have to have a sense of humor. So we'll do that. Tracy, our listeners love to hear a little bit about the journey that our guests have taken to where they are today. Because nobody started out as a coach. They always did something else. And so let's hear a little bit about your journey to where you are today.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So my previous career, Bernie, was I was actually a dental hygienist and treatment coordinator for over 18 years, worked in the dentistry realm. However, you know what? I would say I've always been a personal growth junkie since my early 20s. Loved learning, loved everything to do with growth, personal growth. And it was interesting, you know, I went through my coaching program in 2015. However, before that, you know, I loved helping people. It was just a natural part of things that lit me up, right? And I heard like two or three times people saying, you should be a coach. And so when I looked into that, I'm like, oh my goodness, you get paid for this? Because it was such a natural part of who I was and what I love to do and just that growth aspect of it. And how I actually even got into the whole certified program, you know, I was talking to another coach after I decided to explore it. Actually, it was one of my husband's colleagues. He was the one who said, you know, I was helping his wife. He goes, you really should be a coach. And so I looked into a certified program. Someone recommended a different program, but I happened to come across IPEC, which is about energy leadership. And I think as soon as I seen that word energy leadership, I think every cell in my body lit up like a Christmas tree. And, yeah, the synchronicities that lined up in order for me to actually go to that, like my husband never usually works in Miami, and he happened to be working in Miami that weekend that the training started, just the introduction. Yeah, it was amazing. So, and here I am today. Love it. I love coaching.
Wow. I'd like to add, before Lori says anything, that many years ago, one of my dental hygienists said she was quitting to become a coach, and she was moving to Florida. It's a thing that is a similar story.
Oh, my goodness. That is interesting. That is interesting.
So I guess we're saying
you
if you're a dental hygienist in Florida, let's start coaching. So, Tracy,
yes,
we're going to keep Bernie and I. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go. You go ahead.
No, because I was going to say Bernie and I are going to keep our questions short because we are echoing like we're in the Grand Canyon,
like
but you are coming through clear as a bell. So we're going to do some of them powerful, concise coaching questions, and you can take it away whenever you want.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. So what I want to know is what are you doing with the coaching now?
So with the coaching now, I coach actually a couple different categories. A lot of entrepreneurs I tend to coach, and especially on the energy leadership portion of it, and also young adults, I would say in their 20-year-olds. I'd say the common theme, though, in my coaching practice, I would say about 80% of my coaching practice has been through some form of therapy, and they're looking for that next step, like taking things from functional to optimal. And I love that they've been through therapy because it shows that they're into growth and, you know, wanting to improve. And they went into therapy because there was an issue or an area in one's life that was dysfunctional. And I say this over and over again, they were not dysfunctional. It was an issue or an area in their life that was dysfunctional, and they wanted to improve it to get it back to, you know, functioning, and now they're ready to take it to that next level.
Wow, that's
fascinating. I also mentor coach as well, Lori. Yeah, I also mentor coach as well, Lori. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And Bernie. Well, I should say Bernie.
Yeah. And all three of us went to IPEC, although Laura and I went before energy leadership even existed.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. So I've heard Lori how she gravitated towards it. How did you gravitate towards it, Bernie?
I haven't thought about it. I spent about 35 years on Wall Street as an executive. I'm talking slow because of the echo, so maybe that will help.
Yeah.
One day I was on a panel to substitute for somebody on a panel with venture capitalists. And at the end of the panel discussion, the person came up to me asking me, suggesting that I meet a friend of theirs. And I asked what they did, and they said she sold furniture. And I said, furniture, what does it have to do with me? And she said, trust me, meet her. So I did meet her, and I said, tell me about furniture. And she actually said, well, with furniture, I'm becoming your coach. And I said, okay, what's that? And that began my interest in learning about what she did, having her coach me, and eventually going to iTech like you and becoming a coach.
Wow. Isn't that amazing how, again, all those little, you know, how you had to trust your friend to go meet her, right? And how all that unraveled. And, yeah, it's amazing how when we just kind of follow those little breadcrumbs in life, how it can lead us into a whole different area in our life.
Yeah, you just have to be open to
you have to be open. Absolutely. I would say that's a big word of mine, is to be open. Is just to be open. And when we tend to be closed off, you know, we go into that tunnel vision, and even though some of those opportunities are there, we tend not to see them. It's kind of like, you know, I'll give you an example. I drive a Jeep, right? And before I you know, before I was a Jeep owner, I would never notice a Jeep. And I'm like, oh, you know what, I think I'd like to get a Jeep. I don't think, I haven't seen a lot around. Well, I'm going to tell you, as soon as I drove it off the lot, I'm supposedly in this Jeep club. And now I see all these Jeeps. My hands are constantly in the air waving to other Jeeps, but I've never noticed it before. And so I think it comes back to that word open. When you become open to looking for, to be curious about life, to be, you know, mm-hmm. open to opportunities and seeing things, I think they tend to present themselves versus being closed off.
Yeah.
Knowing where your awareness is. Yeah.
I love that. I know synchronicity is a big part of, your philosophy. So I'm wondering, do you think synchronicities are out of our realm and they just happen to us, or do you think it's all a matter of being aware of what's just always there, and we just, it's like your Jeep. It's like, I'm sure yours wasn't the first Jeep. So what do you think is going on there with the synchronicity?
You know, that's a good question. I would say that my perspective at this point would be the open piece. When I became more open, then I would say that I was more apt to notice that those signs were there. But when you're closed off, you know, how can you notice the Jeep if it's not even, if you're not looking for it, per se, right? If you're not concentrating on what are the opportunities, or, you know what, you know, what's my next best step, and being curious about the questions you ask yourself, I think you tend to not notice the signs that may be there or opportunities.
Yeah, I think I agree with that also. I think the openness, like you and Bernie said,
I think that's
step number one.
Definitely.
And I must say, I've been driving a Jeep for about 25 years, so you've got another Jeep person on the line.
We've crossed paths.
And all I see is Jeep. So here's what am I thinking is, it's interesting. Most of my clients are probably from the New York metropolitan area, and I come up and sit around saying they're all crazy people here. And I do ask clients if they've been in therapy. What challenges do you find, if any, working with people that may have been in therapy or still in therapy, and them understanding what coaching is about versus therapy?
You know what, I think with the big thing is that it, with coaching, it really helps them trust them own, their own self, trust their own intuition, trust that they know what's best for themselves at that point. Mm-hmm. Where with therapy, I would say they need more guidance at that point to help them maneuver out. I think that would be the best way that I would be able to explain it. And so when they're coming to that, you know, when they're, things are functional and they're not in that, you know, again, in that tunnel vision, right, where we get we all can go there into that stuck of that low, heavy emotion that can keep us trapped. When we can alleviate some of that, and again, we become, it takes some of the blinders off, it allows us then again to raise our vibration and be able to, again, trust ourselves more and to be able to haul out those different, like, patterns that we see, and recognizing how we show up and how we contribute to, you know, how we experience reality, really. Does that make sense, mm-hmm. how I'm explaining that, Bernie?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Oh.
That was a double yes, only because of the echo.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, great.
I don't know about you guys. I don't know you, Tracy, but I think Bernie and I are going to go have a drink, and we don't even drink. This is insane, but you're coming through so clear, we're going to let it be. So tell me a little bit about this fantastic book that you wrote called The Gift of Chip. Where did the title come from?
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting, actually, even how the title of the book came from. Well, the whole experience of it, really, I never pictured myself. My colleague is the one I've written the book with, by the way. Her name is Ann Papioti. And we actually did workshops. I met her actually through my IPEC training course as well. She's an IPAC graduate. And she lived in Montreal at the time. She now lives in Texas. And so Montreal, Canada. So we used to fly back and forth. I lived in New Brunswick, and we'd do workshops together. And so she was saying, you know, we should write a book. We should write a book together. And I would totally shut down that idea. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm totally not an author. It's not my thing. My husband said the same thing. You should write a book. Even though I was producing content for years, writing just never came natural, I would say, to me. However, you know, and I even said this in the book, you know, I was at a vision board workshop, and I seen a picture of Oprah, and I cut out the Oprah magazine, the O, and put it on my vision board. And the next morning, on my YouTube channel, actually, Oprah had a video, and so then I was inspired to open it. And she was saying in her video about, you know, asking God, the universe, you know, what is your will for me? And so what I did then was actually meditate it. And I just said that, universe, I'd love a sign. You know, what is your will for me? And I went into a meditative state. And instinctively, intuitively, it came through gift of shift, personal stories. And so when I came out of the meditation, and so it almost like it totally busted through that block that I could never be an author, you know, that inner critic piece. And it was so crystal clear that, okay, I'm going to write a book with Anne, because there's the title, and we've did workshops before, even though it wasn't really based on the workshops. And I reached out to her, and she was super excited because, as I said, she's been wanting to do this for years, and it kind of unraveled from there. So that's how the whole gift of shift came to. Yeah.
And, you know, so many of us have thought about writing a book, and 99% don't. What challenges, number one, did you overcome actually physically writing the book? I think what challenges you actually have to overcome once you decided, I'm going to write a book?
The biggest for me, Bernie, I would say that I had to overcome for a challenge was vulnerability. Because the book is on 12 personal stories of Anna, both personal stories that Anna and I share. And to me, the biggest thing was vulnerability. I'm a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Private person? So to share, you know, some of the deeper aspects of myself, that was a big, big block to burst through, let's just say that. You know, the mm-hmm. challenge was the vulnerability in being able and open to share.
So tell us, what is the gift of shift? What's the benefit of shifting?
I think the benefit of shifting is that, you know, it really can help you claim your power of choice. That's the biggest thing. I think it's the mindset shift, the mindset change that really allows you to claim that power of choice that a lot of times we don't even recognize that we have in some of those moments. To be able to see things differently, in a different light, to be able to, you know, to recognize, you know, even some of our strengths that we've, challenges that we've overcome, right? And the shift that we had to take place in order to do that, or if we're feeling stuck, you know, what perspective or what way of approaching it needs to be a little bit different sometimes, not necessarily a huge change, but something a little bit different in order to keep you moving forward. It was so interesting. One day I was outside and I was sitting in my screen tent, and this is the best way I can explain it. And I seen a fly, and he was, you know, inside the screen tent, and he's like, you know, started to buzz against it. Obviously, he wanted out, and he kept pushing against the tent and pushing against the tent. And then he started to get really agitated, like buzz, 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 and he's pushing against the tent. And meanwhile, I'm sitting back from a different perspective. I'm like, man, just if you just went like three swipes to the right, you'd be out, right? But you go into resistance, and you push against what's being presented in front of you, when really, if you if the fly could literally step back and just see things from a different perspective, a different light, he would easily be able to maneuver out of that situation a lot more effectively, move forward. And that's, I guess, the biggest way that I could say about shift is recognizing where we can sometimes get stuck, where we really can just need to look at it a little bit differently. And, I mean, that's the power of coaching, right? We're in that helicopter view, help them see the client, see things in a different perspective so that they can shift and keep moving forward.
I find over the years that so many clients are stuck in their story, and their friends are stuck in their story with them.
Yep.
Because they're friends, right? They want to agree with everything they say. Or if they're family, they disagree with everything they say. What is the challenge that you have in getting some people out of their story?
I think, as you said, is that the environment has a lot to do with it, that, you know, because you get something out of that. Let's all share, you know, the same perspective, and that we can keep confirming why our story is true, right, mm-hmm. per se. And I know that you guys get that in a coaching level. But what I mean by that is that sometimes the struggle is that we want to cling to our story of, you know, what something is really means. But it's more of, okay, what do you want to do with that story? How do you want to write a new chapter? Do you want to stay in the same story that you've been writing for years? Or do you want to shift and turn the page? And what is that new story going to look like? What do you want to incorporate? How do you want those next chapters to be? Or do you want it to be a continuation of the other chapters? Because it all comes down to the power of choice. That's what it really comes down to. You can choose to stay in the story of what you're writing, right, what you have control over, because there's mm-hmm. things that we have absolutely no control over, but with who you are and who you want to be, how do you want to create something different?
That's interesting because, as you said, your biggest challenge for you was vulnerability. And I'm wondering, if someone said, well, what is the benefit of me being vulnerable? How does that work good for me? I can tell you how your vulnerability works for me, but how did it work for you?
I think what it worked for me was just allowing to just to be able to share at such a more deeper level that it allowed me to almost be free, that there was nothing to be really concerned about. I mean, that we all have these common themes, right? And we wear these beautiful masks to try to hide some of, like, even the inner critic messages or, you know, the fantasy Facebook, meaning, hey, look, I'm going to take that perfect picture, but meanwhile, there's a lot of chaos going on in the background, right? It's allowing to share my own story, that vulnerability, in order for a greater purpose, so other people help drop their mask, help them see where they can, you know, shift as well, to again keep building something, you know, a better life for themselves if they choose to, or even just more empowering if they choose to.
I was online, Tracy, and I noticed that you have Tuesday with Tracy, and went through a whole bunch of them and was having some fun with it. What brought about that idea of doing that?
You know what? That is so funny. Thanks, Bernie, for checking it out. Actually, that was purely just for the fun of it. So for my friends, really, at the beginning, I'm like, I'm just going to do inspirational video because they're like, oh, you're inspirational. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to create Tuesdays with Tracy, and I'll put a little bit of, you know, just something that I'd like them to give them a little inspiration for the week. And so then it just became a habit. And then I'm like, well, it's going to just be part of, you know, my practice, I guess, is just to keep doing it because I've been getting good feedback on it. Like, oh, I love it. That's only like a minute long, and it's just that little bit of a moose bush to start the day, you know, that little jump mm-hmm. start. Yeah, and I enjoy it. It's kind of fun.
Great.
So they can find Tuesdays with Tracy on Facebook. Is that where they find that?
Yeah, Tuesdays with Tracy is on Facebook. It's on Instagram. I even posted on LinkedIn, actually, as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, Yeah, it's just, as I said, just something, you know, a little inspiration for that week, something to think about. Maybe a lot of times it's a question to get people thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And let's tell them where your website is, too, while we're at it.
My website is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, Tracy Mack Coaching.
.com, right?
.com, exactly.
So Tracy, I was, again, watching and reading some of your material. One of the things I liked, I was drawn to, was you suggesting people lighten up a little bit, have some humor in your life. And I find that's one of the issues with many clients. It's so damn serious. How do you maybe suggest to some people that they do lighten up a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's easier said than done sometimes, especially when you're sometimes in that, you know, some of those heavier experiences, you don't necessarily see the humor in things. I guess that it was easy for me because it was through our family the whole time, you know, growing up, you know, no matter what we were going through, we somehow could, you know, make light of it. And I don't know, there's something about it feels good to laugh, and it just feels good to recognizing that, you know, even if you look back at it a year later, you know, what would you wish that you were didn't take on so heavily and that you could lighten up about, or maybe just be a little bit more humorous about, so it doesn't, why wait? You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is just applying some of that lightness now when it's appropriate.
Well, sort of along the same line, it's like, what do you feel was left out of your book?
What was left out of my book? Good question. You know what, there was a lot of things I think that we really tried to make it an easy read. That was the biggest thing. Like, I mean, I had pages and pages and pages of stuff that we kept cutting back and cutting back. I would say one of the big things that, and maybe if we write another one, would be the questions we ask ourselves, how that impacts how we see life. If I could get through one thing even for today for the listeners, is to be careful or to be aware of the questions that you ask yourself, especially if you went through something traumatic. And the reason why I'm saying that, I can think about of an experience, and I won't get into that, especially we only have 3 minutes, but I can think back of an experience where I went through. And the question that I recognized later on life that I was asking myself how it shifted. In the moment when it happened, my perspective shifted to how could the world be so cruel? Not how could this person be so cruel, not how could be this situation be so cruel, but how could this world be so cruel? And from that moment, everything in my life shifted, but not for the better. It became, I started to collect evidence of why that was. So if anything, if you couldn't take one step away, I would say be careful of the questions you ask yourself, be aware of the questions you ask yourself, and choose better questions because it will bring you to a whole different outcome.
I love that. How would you reframe that question that you asked yourself?
Ooh, how would I reframe it? I would say even, like, in this situation, I think you have to recognize that, what you experienced. And I think there's healing that needs to come from that. But how can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Is a big one. How do I keep moving forward? What do I need to do to heal? Yeah.
Great. Well, you're right. We only have like 30 seconds left, so I'm going to tell them one more time they can find you at Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at Tracy Mack, M-A-C, coaching.com.
And I'm going to thank you for tolerating me. This is the first time you've ever had five people on the show, two of me and two of Bernie and one of you. So it'll make interesting listening, I'm sure. But thank you, Tracy, Bernie, thank you for not losing your mind during this event. And I'm going to remind everybody that we'll be back next month. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Lori, so much. Thank you, Bernie. Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.